The following is a recorded presentation brought to you as a public service by the Saintrim Central School District. The comments made during this board meeting do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of WSHR and its staff. If you have any questions or comments about this meeting, please call the Saintrim District Office at 631-471-1300, or you may write directly to the District Superintendent at 245 Union Avenue, Holbrook, New York, 11741. As a reminder, all members of the Saintrim community are encouraged to attend school board meetings whenever possible. The location and times of these meetings are posted on the Saintrim calendar, or you can go directly to the Saintrim website at www.saintrim.edu.
We'll all rise for the pledge,
which is right here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please remain standing for a moment of silence. And also, we have three dedications, a moment of silence. One for Teddy Perilla, our Saintrim High School North Junior. Teddy Perilla passed away March 22nd, 2006. Those of you who knew Teddy knew that he was a young man who battled a terrible disease since he was a young child. Over the years, Teddy spent months in hospitals undergoing numerous surgeries to keep him alive. Throughout all of the painful battles, Teddy never quit, but most significantly, he never lost his sense of humor, his brilliant, contagious smile and laughter. Teddy's short life taught all of us who knew him and cared about him a great deal, taught us a great deal of optimism, courage, humor, persistence, and family. Teddy's parents and his sister Tara devoted most of their time to Teddy's care and recovery. Our hearts go out to his family today. As we mourn Teddy's passing, we must always remember his spirit, his tenacity, and his never-ending joy for living. Please join us in a moment of silence for Teddy. Our sincere sympathy and prayers are with his family. Also, in your thoughts and prayers, it was great sadness to inform you that Grundy Avenue Elementary School has lost a member of its staff. Mr. Kevin Kelly, a special education teacher, passed away on March 29th after a short illness. Kevin was a respected and well-liked teacher. His passion for teaching and caring for his students was evident as he taught at Grundy for the past 25 years. Mr. Kelly took tremendous pride as a teacher in the Saintrim District, as he had a special place in his heart for all of his students and colleagues. He enjoyed working with our Grundy students, parents, and staff. In particular, Kevin's passion was in science, and this was reflected with his great work with the Grundy Science Fair. Please join us in a moment of silence for Kevin. Our sincere sympathy and prayers are with his family. Kevin will be missed by the entire Saintrim family. And finally, please join us in a moment of silence for Mary Ann Solino, who passed away on April 3rd, 2006. Mary Ann began her career at Saintrim in the business office as a clerical substitute on May 1st, 1997. She touched the lives of everyone she worked with. Mary Ann was a very caring individual who never refused a job and was always willing to help whomever or wherever needed. She was transferred to the transportation office and worked as the afternoon dispatcher for approximately 6 years. Mary Ann was loved by everyone in the transportation office and was always there with a story to cheer you up after a stressful day. She loved children and always offered to babysit for anyone in the transportation office. Her smile was contagious and laughs infectious. Mary Ann was an extremely giving person with never an expectation or a reward. She was always willing to take care of others, either by sitting with a coworker's ill mother or writing to a custodian's son in Iraq. Mary Ann dealt with her illness for several years, but never let it get her down. She was constantly on the go, either at bingo or a Broadway show or meeting friends for dinner. Mary Ann was a devoted mother to Mark and Scott and a loving wife to husband Lou. Mary Ann Solino will be sorely missed by the Saintrim Central School District. Our sincere sympathy and prayers are with her and her family. Thank you. Visitors, Carol.
Okay, the first thing we have to do is a couple of action items to clean up. Action item, resolution number one. That's 913 resolution. I need a motion, please. Mr. Sayers, a second. Second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Boddy. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried, unanimous. Resolution number two. Mr. Sayers, second, please. Second, Dr. Tenari. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried, unanimous. All right, to the presentations. Dr. Murphy, additional state aid, 2006-2007 budget.
Okay, we moved some things off our agenda today to put on this state aid discussion. We had some good news last week, and it looks like the legislators approved additional state aid for many of the school, if not all the school districts in the state, and Sachem reaped some benefits from that. So we wanted to come back to the public and to the board and just to clarify some of the state aid numbers now that have been given to us. And Bruce, do you want to share some of this information that we received from the state?
Sure. Last year, or last week, on April 1st, again, the Senate and Assembly approved a New York State package to present it to Governor Pataki. This is the second year in a row they adopted it. We should thank our Assembly people and senators for giving us a generous aid package. We increased our aid by over $3.1 million. So we had budgeted $100 million from this year. It was $100 million. To next year, it's approximately $107 million. So year-to-year increase, it's $6.2 million. The effect of that, if the board accepts the recommendation to apply the extra state aid to lower the taxes, our projected tax rate increase would be an average of 1.60%. We attached a chart of the actual tax, the projected taxes in Brookhaven, Smithtown, and Islip on the second page. And this already incorporates the additional state aid. And the difference between a past budget and defeated budget is 1.6% tax increase on a past budget and a 1.79, almost 1.8% on a defeated budget. The actual tax differences between a past budget dollars out of the pocket is approximately $9 a year. So it's a recommendation that we increase our state aid by the projected amount, with the only caveat that Governor Pataki has not signed this into law. So he has the right to veto in its entirety or line by line on the budget. But as at this point every year, we always take the latest information from Albany. This being the latest information, $107 million, I would recommend we incorporate that into the 06-07 budget. And if the budget figures change down the road, then we would inform the community what the resulting tax rate would be. But this is the latest information. And just on a minor note, there's an additional aid, Excel aid. We are slated to receive $5 million. We haven't received enough information to make a qualified decision, but it appears that we would receive this aid to complete capital projects, school construction, reconstruction, rehabilitation, development improvement, and modernization of the schools. If this comes into fruition, then on top of $107 million, we would have an additional $5 million to apply towards construction. But again, that's not definitive. It hasn't been approved by the governor. But it is a proposal.
Mike Palmer.
Bruce, with this Excel aid, if it comes in, does that mean we can complete some projects we haven't done? Or
the way it's written, it's through the dormitory authority. So yeah, they have a different set of rules as opposed to the normal process where we apply to the state education department. We would make an application to New York State Dormitory Authority for the type of projects that we have in the budget and what H2M presented to us. And the New York State Dormitory Authority would take out a loan on our behalf. And that's essentially how it would work.
Maybe at the next meeting or down the line a piece, we can, depending on where we're at with this, we can get some kind of an explanation out to the public, what it is, how it works, and what's applicable to it.
It's out there.
Yeah, I know there's something out there right now, but you know, we don't have this yet, but you know, some of the things we could do, it might be good to you know, to outline that also.
We just need it to be clarified.
Yeah, that's
for
it.
Us. Just, once it is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We'll
once
put
you
it on
know.
The discussion, and then yeah. We could almost if we chose, could almost wipe out that book that we created.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking of, because there's so many things that need to be done, and the longer we wait, the more money it's going to cost us. So
exactly.
if this can work, that'd be great. A lot of good news so far.
Mr. Sayers?
Bruce, you said something, and it caught my ear. You said that every year they come out with adjusted figures or figures, latest figures. So last year being the first on-time state budget, the state had projected state aid revenues, and those were the numbers that we used?
Correct. They're actually projected up until they're audited, which is on November 15th annually. So we always use the latest figures at this time for the public brochure. So the taxpayers have a pretty good idea of what they anticipate the tax rate to be when they get their tax bill. And when we adopt it in October.
Well, on that page we have, what's it going to cost me? You're showing the 1.6 increase. Is that before STAR or after STAR?
Before. So, actually, on the bottom of the page, you can see we have the STAR savings, and the numbers basically are unchanged. STAR savings is really a direct result of the state budget. So most likely, as I read in Newsday and the New York State web pages, there's a nice increase in the STAR savings on top of this. So most people would, in fact, if it's approved by the governor, pay much less than the 1.6%.
Thank you.
Anyone else on this state aid increase?
I agree with Mike Palmera. That's once we get on to the XL aid, that's going to be very interesting to see if we can clean that whole book up in one shot. Mr. Falco.
The Excel grant money, contingent, and is there a difference if we're on or off austerity?
No, that's a good point. Because it's funneled through the Dormitory Authority, they have a different set of rules. It's independent of contingency or non-contingency. They don't follow those same rules. It's actually the state of New York is taking out a 20-year loan on behalf of Sachem Schools. So we just apply for the grants. The first one it's a different set of rules, and I guess that's okay. That's how it's set up, even though it hasn't been adopted by the governor.
So the money will be there, contingency or non-contingency?
Absolutely. Okay. That's how it's set up.
All right. Any other questions on this? All right. Mike Palmera, you're okay with the increase state aid going right onto the revenue side?
Absolutely.
Yes. 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 All right. That's unanimous. Carol? All right.
Charlie, you want to do the kindergarten progress or the brochure first?
We'll just knock off the brochure.
Okay, let's knock off the brochure. I met with Dr. Murphy and his staff and Zimmerman Ellison regarding the budget brochure that's going to go out, that we discussed the last time at the committee, the BAC committee recommended to us. And, it really looks good. I think they really got a handle on it. I think Z&E is going to get the information, put it in the proper way. It's going to be very informative. But one thing that came up out of that meeting was, since that budget brochure really comes to the public towards the end of the season, pretty close to the vote, it was felt that maybe a small one-page flyer just go out to let everybody know what's coming. And everybody at the table thought it was a good idea. There is a cost associated with that, and that's why I said to have something for tonight to bring it back to the board, and I think that's in front of you people now, so you want to take a minute or two to read it. And that would go out. And Dr. Murphy, what was the cost on that?
$5,500 for postage, production, and printing, the three P's.
Okay, that's $5,500 for this item that's in front of you now to go out as an immediate mailing.
And this is not the actual item. We haven't passed this by Z&E. This is just like a concept. We were kicking around district office the last couple of days, but it's really gone nowhere. They would have to take it, and then they were able to take the concept and turn it into something very nice.
Let me just throw my two cents in there, because when this was brought up, I was a big advocate of doing this. I thought it was a great idea, and the reason is that, as you well know, there are going to be a number of negative pieces of information flying before that budget comes out. In fact, we had a budget presentation tonight, and we came out, and there were flies on a car that were throwing negative stuff around already. So it's going to happen. So to me, it would be a good thing for the board to at least put something out there to the people showing the real facts. So, yeah, Mike.
I think this is a great idea. It's simple. It's to the point. Gets the message out, and I think this is a great way to start. You know, and Zimmerman and Adelson, they'll, Charlie said, they'll spruce it up a little bit and make it look very professional. But the concept is great.
So. Yeah, I just took some of my slides that we do in our budget presentations and cut and paste them. And it needs some fine-tuning by the experts.
Yeah, but it's really a good job, Charlie.
Any other questions on this before I ask how you feel about it? All right, Mike Palmer, are you good with this? Yes, Tony?
Yes.
Rich? Yes, Deborah? All right, unanimous that we'll go out with this. Charlie, you'll have Z&E prepare a document, the ASAP?
Yeah, they'll work on it. I'll send it out by email tomorrow.
Okay. All right, now the kindergarten discussion. Dr. Murphy?
One of the drives of the board and these goals, one was to really deliver an affordable budget this year, and we listed our seven goals. The other goal that I had earlier in the year was to have a board presentation or an academic presentation at every board meeting. The budget distracted us for a little bit about some of the real education and things that are taken off, and so tonight we have our Assistant Superintendent Jill Girosh here, and one of our district office administrators, Stephanie McIntosh, who want to do a little presentation on our kindergarten programs and how well or their progress since we've done a lot of changes the last couple of years, one being full-day kindergarten, two is a new reading series, and then three is really some staff development. And they'll present and share this with the board and the public. Thank you.
Stephanie McIntosh. And I just want to give you an overview of the K-2 language arts program. We shared some of the initiatives we've begun to support through our literacy program. We also want to share with you how we're meeting our literacy goals, what's working, our best practices, and what areas still need improvement. Effective implementation of the literacy framework and the Harcourt Reading Series will support our school's ability to increase reading and writing performance, and just as important, meet the state's language and literacy standards. Because the literacy framework is based on current research, which in our case would involve reading recovery and our Wilson Reading Program, the model includes research-based instructional practices that meet the rigorous standards put forth by the Department of Education. The model addresses the essential components of reading instruction as described by the National Reading Panel Report and the No Child Left Behind Act. These five instructional components must be coordinated to provide a comprehensive and integrated approach across multiple contexts to support students to learn to read. And some of the essential components that we really want to review with you is the phonemic awareness, phonics instruction, fluency, vocabulary, and comprehension instruction. And as a result of looking at these five components, as Stephanie and I sat down and really took a look at our reading instruction and what was out there for the community to be aware of what we're actually doing in our K-2 classes, there really was nothing on the website. Parents weren't receiving enough information from our point of view as to what exactly was going on in those K-2 classrooms. So we put together some information to put directly on our website by clicking on the curriculum tools. Everyone has a copy of what actually is going to be on that website, and Stephanie's going to take a minute to just go through the different components of our integrated language arts program, which we call our balanced literacy framework. It's about reading to children, reading with children, and reading by children, as well as writing to children, writing with children, and writing by children. So I'm going to give Stephanie a few moments to actually go over some of the pieces that you can see when you go on our website.
Thank you, Jill. As Jill said, this website will be posted tomorrow. So tonight you're getting a preview. Tomorrow this will be available for the community. When you go to the homepage, you'll click on the curriculum tools link, and it'll bring you to our language arts page. This really does work. All right, there we go. Now, This is a prototype of what the page will look like, and we're going to show you some of the links right now. We're going to begin by showing you the guided reading link, because much of the data that we'll be sharing with you today is directly related to guided reading. The website does cover all of the areas of our balanced literacy program. On each section of the website, you will get a definition of that area of balanced literacy. So for guided reading, it gives you a description of what a teacher in a classroom will be doing during a guided reading lesson. If we go back to the main page, we also have a definition for writing activities. Writing to children, writing with children, and writing by children. Part of what we wanted to highlight tonight is a section on the Writer's Workshop. Writer's Workshop is an initiative that we began with last year's kindergarten teachers, training them in the method of teaching writing through writing workshop. We continued that training this year with our first grade teachers, so every first grade teacher has been trained in writing workshop. A basic overview is on the website, but the format of a writing workshop lesson is that the teacher would begin with a mini lesson. That mini lesson would involve some part of the writing process, be it teaching the kids the proper use of a period or a type of punctuation, proper spacing on a line of text, or modeling after a different literature that they may have seen. The way that this is taught typically is a teacher will model this using either their own writing, a published piece of literature, or other writing from another student in the classroom. Once that activity has taken place for the mini lesson, there is then time for the students to write and confer or work together, and at the end of the lesson, there's time for them to share. So, like I've said, we've trained our kindergarten and first grade teachers in the writing workshop format.
Also, this is our first year of the Harcourt Reading Series. So our kindergarten and first grade teachers presently have that new program. So they've gotten workshops to support them with those new reading materials. But this is our first time through it. They're working through the materials, what works for them, and what instructional practices they've already had, their best practices, to tie all those together.
Back on the homepage, just to give you some other ideas of some things that we have posted, on the bottom, there's a section for online resources, which is available for both teachers and parents to refer to. All of the materials on here are free. There are book lists on here, resources for kids, worksheets. So anyone who wanted to reinforce these activities at home, these are different resources that are readily available for them. Most of the websites have interactive activities, and we did put a link on here for the Harcourt website, which would support our language arts program at home. So all of these materials are readily available, and we'll be updating this list throughout the year. Okay, back on the homepage again. We do want to also emphasize that there is a section on the website for phonemic awareness. That's our word work section. So anyone who would like more information on how phonics is stressed in the Harcourt program or in our balanced literacy program, this is a section that explains phonemic awareness and gives some examples of the teaching methods that we use currently in our classroom. The last section that we'd like to highlight on the website tonight is the section on the reading levels. When we identify students through their guided reading groups, they are identified as different levels of reader. This website will explain the typical activities that you will see in a pre-emergent reader, an emergent reader, a developing reader, and a capable reader, so that you can see the age ranges typically for those reading levels. And every single reading level on here has assigned to it family support tips. So different things that you can work at home with your children if your child happens to be in a particular reading level, and those reading levels are assessed each quarter, and that material does go home with a report card. This data will lead us directly into what we'll be sharing with you today, which is some of the guided reading materials that we've collected from our students. So I'm going to turn this over to Jill.
One of the things that we handed out tonight was some of the data that we've collected through looking at our full-day kindergarten program. And if you take a look at this chart, it basically outlines where our kindergartners came in November 04 to where they are as first graders presently right now, or the end of March 06. 93% of our students come in as pre-emergent readers. They know a few letters, they can recognize their name, they know a few sounds, they recognize books that typically they have a beginning or an end. That's where we expect students to come in. When we move to kindergarten of 05, that's when we began to train our teachers with the writer's workshop approach. You can see the significant jump from November to March with the same group of students. 52% are still at the pre-emergent reader level, but where we see the most significant growth is at the emergent level. At the emergent level, students can recognize basic sight words, letter sound recognition, they can start predicting the text, parts of a book, they can start to retell a story. And this is pretty consistent where our kindergartners in March should be. When we move after 5 months of additional instruction, as well as hopefully some summer reading with parents at home and possibly some library programs, we see that by November of first grade, we only have 4% of our students at the pre-emergent level, 53% at the emergent, and already 41% at the developing level. At the developing level, students can recognize main idea, they can start to read independently, they can actually use the terms author, illustrator, they can finger, voice, print match, they can read back their own writing, and more accurately predict the text. So we're really pleased with the growth that we're seeing, especially in this area. We do see 2% of our population at the capable reading level, which is pretty advanced at that point for first graders. When we go to our first graders at present time in March of 06, only 2% of our population is at the pre-emergent level and 14% at the emergent level. These students in these two areas would be our students that qualify for those reading recovery program, and that's pretty much in line across the district. They're pretty balanced where those students fall for the reading recovery. What we hope to do, and where we've just started another initiative, is to train our teachers with the Wilson Reading Program. That's on top of those students who are not successful with reading recovery. Typically, they'd go back to the team, and many of those students we'd be classified. We're hoping to give students an additional boost with a different approach, which is the Wilson Reading Program, before they're classified. So kind of capture those that 16%. If you notice, we're already up to 76% at the developing level and then 8% at the capable. When you see students at the capable level at this time in first grade, I can kind of share with you a story of, I've been going to some of the K-1-2 classes over the past couple weeks to actually sit in the classes and see what the kids are doing. But many children at the capable level are actually able to use the terminology, text-to-text connections. The teacher sits down with the kids after reading a story, and she says, can anybody make any connections? One student raised their hand, I can make a text-to-text connection in a first grader. A text-to-text connection would be relating the story that they presently read to another story that they might have read at another time or at home. Another child raised their hand, I can make a text-to-self connection, and she relates the story they had read about a fox chasing a chicken. She related it to her sister chasing her in the backyard, but they're actually using the terminology text-to-text, text-to-self in first grade. So I've been really pleased in visiting the classrooms to actually see what our kids are doing. We've began the writer's workshop for our first grade teachers, and they have the Harcourt program. They are really just working through it at this point to get the various components. So we really hope to see more significant growth next year once they've been through the program another year.
The next chart that we have ready for you compares our first year of full year kindergarten to the current year of full day kindergarten. We're in year two right now. We started with a comparison of November 04 to November 05. And you can see that most of the kids are entering at the pre-emergent level, which is where we would expect kids to come into kindergarten. So we have 93% and 90%. In November of 05, when we look at the next year, kindergarten March 05 and kindergarten March 06, when you look at March 05, that's where we've actually began our training for our kindergarten teachers and writers workshop. So that's important to keep in mind as we go through this information. In March 05, we had 52% at the pre-emergent level, 45% at the emergent level, and 3% developing. In our second year of full-day kindergarten, these teachers have gotten refreshers and writers' workshop, and we've begun the Harcourt program. And we can definitely see a difference in our kids. We right now have 58% of our kids at the emergent level, and this is just our second year of full-day K. We do plan on collecting this data continually over the years so we can see the impact of these programs as we continue.
And our last graph really looks at our first grade reading levels. If we look at our first grade, November of 04, that's when we didn't have our full day program. And if we go to the first grade of November 05, so a whole year later, where our kids actually receive full day K, we see a significant jump to 53% at the emergent level and 41% already at the developing. And so that would be the comparison between not having full day K and having full day K, as long as with some of the other initiatives that we've put in place at this time. At this time, we'd like to just actually share with you some of the student works, and you can actually see what a kindergarten and first grader was capable of coming in September, October to March right now. We have a teacher here, Marie O'Doherty, tonight in the audience, who actually has shared some of her student work with us, but she's really taken on a leadership role in standing out amongst her peers and sharing some of the work that she's done with her students. So I really just want to thank Marie for coming tonight, and she really has really embraced all of the initiatives. We're going to start with a kindergartner from Winona, and this is what the student did in October of this year. So she basically would say, my mom, she's writing a book about her mom, or I'm sorry, he is writing a book about his mom. When we turn the page, I think he says, my mom plays and my mom kisses. And last, he just says, my mom, and he indicates his name once again, me, my mom and Daniel, that's him. Now at this point in March, this is the same student, creates a similar type of book, the bird book. This is on a nonfiction piece that he learned in school. Can spell more accurately the bird's nest, the bird's feet. Notice he's putting punctuation at the end of his sentences. The bird's beak, I wasn't really sure on this one. The bird's body, I'm sorry, then the bird's beak. I needed a little help with that one. This was from March. So the first one was from October to March. Bird's eyes, notice he spells eyes, I-S, he's sounding out, he's getting the letter sound relationship, and the bird's wing, and the bird smiling. That would be a kindergarten, and so that's what's expected. Some of our kindergartners, I have to be honest with you, are way past that. They are writing complete sentences, but this would be an average kindergartner at this point. I was in a class the other day, and the students were all on the floor when I walked in with writer's workshop. They were so engaged in their writing, didn't skip a beat that I was in there sitting down right on the floor next to them. One student had at least 6 pages written on his underwater vacation that he had taken, and the vocabulary that this child was using in kindergarten was phenomenal. Another student in another class had walked in, I couldn't believe he was using the words barbecue, BBQ, and I was like, how do you know how to spell that? Duh, it's up on the wall. Like, you know, some, that's basically their reaction. You use the words around you in the room. So they are very much excited about writing. Another kindergarten class in another building, I walked in, the children were at learning centers. I sat with them for a few minutes. The teacher had them pack up their materials and said, it's time for writer's workshop. Kids literally race from their tables, packing everything up as quick. Yes, writer's workshop. So you just see the enthusiasm in the room when these type of things are going on. At this point, we'll just share with you a first grader who, this is Marie's class, where this is an October piece. November. She labels the turkey trot. Tomorrow with my dad, I'm going to the turkey trot. Starts with capital letters, so she's a little more advanced for a first grader, but this is actually where we'd expect the students to be, being able to put capital letters on specific words. And just in the next month, she decides to write a book on the first day of school. When I first got to first grade, I was a little nervous. Notice how she spells nervous, N-R-V-E-S. But when I got there, it was great. Some of the people from kindergarten were there. Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. And the classroom was all, look how she spells decorated. I mean, really getting the phonetic piece. The teacher were so nice. So, you know, even they see this in different text pieces where they really expand on the text. Their names are Mrs. O'Doherty, Mr. McNack, and Ms. Booz. This is really neat. She writes an About the Author page, so you can tell she's been exposed to different literature where there's an About the Author, where the teacher has shared that. Eve loves to read. She's very smart. This is about her. And the last piece would be this March. She writes about her and her friend, me and Melissa. Me and Melissa went on the computers. We were both playing Paws. We also played outside. Melissa is the best friend I ever had. Proper punctuation. We have play dates together. We also read together. I mean, notice how she even expanded with the dot, 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 with the exclamation point. We play in school a lot. We have lunch together. We sit next to each other in school. We don't cheat in quizzes. We both play soccer. I mean, this is only a first grader, so I mean, we're just amazed at what they're able to accomplish. We both love ice cream. We both love Chuck E. Cheese. Melissa likes Heelys. She also likes, I can't really say, bugs, okay? She likes math, too. She likes recess a lot, and she has a lot of friends, too. She loves school. We are partners in Writer's Workshop. She likes centers, too, and most of all, she loves me. So she has a conclusion at the end of her story, and she sticks to the topic. One of the things that we're seeing, if we look at her first piece on the turkey trot, if you give a child one piece of paper, that's what they'll write. But if you give them numerous blank pages, they'll fill up the book. And that's really what we want our teachers to be doing at this point, is to giving children the opportunity to write as much as they can and what they're capable of. The last piece, since we actually spoke a little bit about some of the other initiatives and Harcourt. As we move Harcourt into second grade next year, we need to prepare our teachers for those kids who are coming in a little more advanced than they've been expected in the past. So they need to be ready for when those kids come up who've had full day K for quite some time. Joan Herman, one of our staff developers, is hosting a workshop. She's done it with Writer's Workshop for the K-1, and now she's doing one this spring with the second grade teachers with a focus on comprehension. And it'll be a two-day workshop for each second grade teacher, regular ed and special ed, to really boost them up to be prepared where our kids come in September. Also with Harcourt coming in, we'll start doing some staff development once they have the program and get their hands on it a little more, and that will take place throughout the year. One of the things in meeting with the staff district-wide, they've asked that they come together as a group and really share best practices, and that's what we'll continue to do to support them in these initiatives. That's it. Are there any questions?
That's a wonderful presentation. Wonderful presentation. Ward, any questions? We're going to have Deborah Slankowski asking a question. She's making her way back.
You know what?
Here.
Stephanie, want to share this? You know, go ahead. Jim, can we just share one piece about some of the technology up here so that you can see what we have in our classrooms?
The equipment that we have up here right now is our document camera and projector, which we have in a number of the schools. And we were really fortunate to be able to use Sequoias today. As you can see, we can put student writing up here and project it for you to be able to read. Many of our classroom teachers use this to teach editing or to share different examples from literature. They can also, because it has an open top, place a textbook on there and share examples from a textbook. And I was fortunate enough to be in a classroom where they put caterpillars up on the screen. And when they were discussing the forming of the cocoon, they also had the cocoons up there. And it was wonderful because the kids were able to all focus together as a group and see the different parts of the caterpillars, the cocoons, and the butterflies. So this is a piece of equipment for technology that we really see being used a lot in the classrooms. So we were fortunate that Sequoia had it available for us today.
And that was donated by Bruce?
Of course.
Questions? Anybody have questions? Deborah, I think you had something to ask. Go ahead.
First, I'd like to thank Dr. Murphy.
I was very good at that during that presentation, wasn't I?
I would like to thank you for putting forth your strategic plan and, you know, and moving forward towards academic excellence in this district. It's wonderful to see this strategic plan taking shape. It's exciting. Gail, I'd like to thank you for the comprehensive overview. It's wonderful. Jill, I'm sorry. Jill, I'm sorry. Gail, I'll get you another time. Again, Jill, I'd like to thank you for the comprehensive overview. What I'd like to know is how we're going to disseminate all this information to the community to get them all these reading, you know, these textbooks and things of that nature before they reach the kindergarten age. I mean, how are we going to get that information to the parents?
One of the things is the website, so that one whole packet will be on the website that they can access. The other things at the kindergarten orientation, they get the program overview booklet of actually explaining what goes on in kindergarten. You don't have a copy of that right now. In fact, we're working on updating those kindergarten overviews to include this same information, so kindergarten parents, before they actually start, can get that information as well. And those overviews are really being revamped K to five in all subject areas. So the parents at open house in September will get the new copies of those. And just to be a little more user-friendly and be a little more explicit on what exactly is going on in the classrooms. But for most part, the kindergarten parents would get it at the orientation piece.
And to reach the pre-kindergarten people?
You know what, we don't have...
Do they know about the website? I mean, how are we going to get that information out?
To get the information out to... You know what, we can share that with some of the preschool programs, and in our contacts with them, we can let them know that that is available to them. Because as you see on the website, we put a lot of things up there, what parents can be doing with their kids at the different levels.
Thank you so much for working so hard on the program. Dr. Murphy, I'd also like to see us expand this type of presentation. I know that we're going to be entering into a new type of curriculum for three through five. So I'd like to see this type of, you know, presentation and overall, you know, overview presented to the public as well. And I'd like to do the same thing for the middle school curriculum. So if we can get that together, so the public understands exactly how geared we are towards academic excellence in this district. And so far, it's working beautifully, and I want to thank you so much for your due diligence. And I'll look forward to the other, you know, presentations with regards to three through five and our middle school programs. That's just for starters.
Well, is Marie O'Doherty here? I thought I saw her before. I think is she hiding in the back? Yeah, well, she's really done a remarkable job over at Gate Lot. And so, Marie, can you stand up? I don't even know where you are. There she is, Marie, and that's Marie's class. So if there's anyone to thank, it's really the classroom teachers who get it done down at the elementary level.
Jill and I know that Marie is very modest, but we wanted to share that at the recent Celebration of Teaching and Learning conference, she presented to regional teachers about the way that she uses word walls in her classroom. So she really represented us very proudly at that conference in New York City.
One of the things, Deborah, just to bring up what you brought up, I think that would be something maybe we'll throw in the newsletter as far as how pre-K people could access that website and get that information, so we could do that. Mike Palmer.
I want to thank both Jill and Stephanie for a great job, and I think what I really like the most is the way all you guys are working together at district office. You have a great team and you're doing a great job, and it's evident by the way our youngsters are benefiting from your expertise. So thank both of you very much, and especially Bill McIntosh. Bill, push that button, do that button. But I had the pleasure of working with these two folks, and I met Jill when she first started, so you guys are doing a great job. You have a great team, Charlie, and I love the way you guys all work together. When you don't help, like Gail and you, Charlie, I mean, you get compliments anyway. I mean, heck, that's good.
I have one concern out of the presentation, but we may have to revise our disciplinary handbook, because now texting seems to be legal. So these kids are texting, and so we're going to make sure that we understand texting at the elementary and texting at the high school level. Ba-dum-bum.
Other questions? No other questions? Okay. I speak for the board. You did a great job. Thank you very much. Okay. So where am I?
We did the brochure, did the kindergarten. Where were the, any visitors, Carol? Negative?
I forgot to thank Ron for the great job he did on this, too.
Okay, that's really all that we have on the agenda. I get a motion to go into exec. Mike Boddy, second. Deborah Slinkowski, we will not be coming back to vote on anything. We will be dealing with personnel issues. Thank you.
The following meeting has been brought to you by the St. James Central School District as a public service to our growing community. If you have any questions or comments about the meeting you just heard, you may call the St. James District Office at 631-471-1300 during normal school hours. Or you can write to the Superintendent of Schools at 245 Union Avenue, Holbrook, New York, 11741. Information concerning our school district and about our school board can be viewed on our St. James website at www.stjames.edu.